The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I could do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org. When you are looking for a school, if indeed you even look for a school, sometimes you find yourself by happy accident in perfect place for your house and for your kids to go to school, a good school district. People long for something like that. They will move for something like that. They will take a pay cut for something like that. They will actually relocate if they have to in order to get that very much desired good school district. But let's say you're in one. Is it still a good idea to look around, especially as a Christian parent, to look around at a Lutheran Christian parochial school? And if you do, what are you looking for? You think about the faculty, you think about the curriculum, you think about the administrators and all of those. Do you think about, say, the chapel service? Dr. Thomas Korchak says that he can learn more about a school by looking at the chapel service than any other single thing in the school. How could that be? We're going to talk about shopping for a school on this Tuesday afternoon. Dr. Thomas Korchak joins us here. He's assistant professor of theology and director of the Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the book, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. Dr. Korchak, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It is good to be back, Todd.
What do you say to someone who says, look, I live in a good school district. They got great test scores. Pretty much the faculty is kind of top notch. Why should I bother researching and shopping around other schools?
Well, the short answer is because of the world in which we live. All you have to do is look around at the way the world thinks, at the way the world approaches for the questions that Christians are or should be concerned about, and you see that there's something of a disconnect. And one of the things that Christians should be concerned about when it comes to children is training their children to think in a particular way, not to adopt a worldview that's contrary to the Christian faith. When the Saxons came to America, the forerunners of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, one of the reasons they came to America was to be able to educate their children freely. Now, when they left Germany, they weren't faced with questions of universalism or social constructivism. They weren't faced with questions about transgenderism or sexuality. They weren't faced with questions of syncretism of the boldest sort, but we are today. And so that makes the need to be careful about where I place my child all the more acute. And just saying, well, ACT scores or how well-funded the school is covers up the real concerns that a Christian parent should have.
The criteria that we're going to discuss here, you say, doesn't only apply to elementary school. It applies beyond. How so?
Well, because all education is involved in forming the way a person thinks. It's about forming a person. It's about forming their worldview and how they approach questions of who am I? What is sin? Who is God? How do I know things? And that applies to elementary schools, high schools, and colleges and universities. The problem is that parents haven't been equipped to judge schools. We can only go by how things look on the outside, and it's kind of odd. If I were to buy a car, I want to research everything about that car. I want to know its horsepower, the transmission, the gas mileage, the tire size. I want to know everything about it before I make a decision. But when it comes to schools, parents have no guidelines to use, and so they can only go by how things look or if the hallways are neat and clean and if the faculty present themselves well. And that puts them at a real disadvantage. And so setting out some benchmarks, I think, is a useful thing for every parent.
So first, let's talk about what not to do. And you say the name of the school or how it markets itself. Sometimes they'll use words like college prep or academy or classical, that those you need to trust but verify.
Absolutely. It seems like every private high school and so many even Lutheran high schools just throw the name college prep in as though that automatically makes them different. Or a lot of schools will throw in the name academy to make it sound like they're doing something different, when in fact maybe there is no substantial difference at all. And so just adding a name really doesn't change anything. Even the term classical, you can have all sorts of schools that are using the term classical, but you really have to start digging around to see what's behind that name and why they've included it, if there is any real difference. Is it just progressive education with a different name to attract some more students or maybe some more donors? If it is, then it's not worth paying attention to. Another area I think we have to be wary of is hollow advertising. Schools will often talk about how great their sports programs are or how their classrooms are outfitted with computers and the latest gadgets in order to, I don't want to say the word sucker parents in, but to get them to commit. Is the reason I want to send kids to school so they can play sports? Well, playing sports is good and I like it, but my child can play sports outside of school as well. I'm not sending them to become an athlete. I'm sending them to form their mind, to form their soul. And that goes beyond such surface programs.
You say that when it comes to parochial schools and religiously affiliated schools, the kind of worship service that is conducted in connection with the school, sometimes called chapel or something like that, tells you more about a school than any other single thing. How is that?
Well, I use my personal experience for this one, because whenever I'm looking at a school or researching, the very first place I go to is their chapel service, or I go to their church webpage and I look at their worship service. That just tells me more about what's going on in that school and how it's oriented than anything else. And perhaps that's an easy shortcut for parents to remember. Just click on a chapel service, listen to it. Does it follow the church year? Does it follow the liturgical standards of the church? Does the church school chapel service complement the worship life of the congregation? Now, the reason I use this as a shortcut is because of two principles. First, well, there's an old Christian expression, the way you pray is the way you believe. Lex orandi, lex credendi. Well, there's kind of an educational equivalent. The way you pray is the way you teach. That's my own saying, at least. And I've found that the way I teach children to pray and the way I teach children to worship also says an awful lot about the way I'm going to teach them in all the other areas. It's going to say a lot about how I view truth, how I view wisdom, what's worthy of my attention. Worship has to do a lot with using words properly, using them in a God-pleasing way, and education should be about teaching children to use words, the very best words, in the very best way possible. One of the functions of the school is to catechize children for life in the church. So when a child goes to chapel service, it isn't just for their spiritual needs for that very moment, but it is also to get them ready for a lifelong worship life in the Holy Christian Church. I'm molding them so that they can continue on and develop and have the Spirit work in their lives through their worship life. So I want those things to be congruous with what goes on in the church. if it's different, then I kind of wonder why it's different. Recently, I was on a school website, and I looked at their chapel service, and they were using Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker characters for their chapel service. Now, what is that teaching children about God's holy house and his holy word when we import not just secular entertainment, but entertainment that's based on Gnosticism into the church and say, this is a fun way to understand God's word? It's contrary to what we want to convey to children.
When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation shopping for a school. One more question on that chapel service. What about who leads it? Dr. Thomas Korchak of Concordia University of Chicago is our guest.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During May, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about shopping for a school. Dr. Thomas Korchak is our guest. He's assistant professor of theology and director of the Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts at Concordia University, Chicago, author of the book Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Learn more about the unique fingerprint of Lutheran theology on the task and the vocation of educating our children. Issuesetc.org. Listen on demand or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for a Lutheran education from Wittenberg to the Future. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
30-40. Dr. Korchak, one more question on the issue of chapel. Should parents inquire as to who leads the chapel? In some cases, if it's connected directly with the congregation, the school may have the parish pastor or another parish pastor leading chapels for the children. Sometimes it's just faculty members. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't want to be legalistic about it, and I don't want to say there's only one way of doing it, because the situation that various schools find themselves varies from school to school. However, I want my children to understand the role of the pastor as the called and ordained servant of the word, that he is the one who's charged with proclaiming God's word and administering his sacraments. And so it would only be natural for the local pastor to be doing that on a daily basis in the school. Because there isn't just school over here and church over there. It is all church, right? And what goes on in chapel service during the week is part of the worship life of the whole church. So why segregate it? Why have someone else doing it when the pastor is available to do it and capable of doing it as well?
What should we be looking for with respect to the faculty of a prospective school?
This is a hard one because, as I said before, parents aren't equipped to really judge faculty and evaluate them. Often, the only thing that parents have to go on is if they're nice. And often I've heard parents say about teachers, oh, they're so nice. And if you ask them, well, what do they teach or what do they believe or what are they trying to accomplish? The parents don't know what to say because they don't have any tools to work from beyond being nice. Now, I'm not against having nice teachers. I'm all for that. But there's much more to being an effective Christian teacher than just being nice. So I would ask the question, are they committed to the confessions of the church? This speaks not just of their faith, but also of their worldview, of their understanding of truth, of their understanding of the value of words as a vehicle of truth. I want my teacher to be the one who molds my child. And if the teacher doesn't appreciate the Christian faith for what it is, if the teacher doesn't appreciate the confessions of the church for what they are, then how are they going to convey that appreciation to the children that has been committed to their care? The other question I would ask of teachers is, are they curious? Do they love learning? Often, I kind of get discouraged when I'm working with teachers and they're not curious at all about learning. And I'm not running any one teacher down, but sometimes we have teachers that are more interested in keeping children amused or collecting a paycheck or whatever. I think an essential quality of teacher is that they love to learn. They're in the learning business, so they themselves should be masters of that and should enjoy it. And that's far more important than state licensure or any other professional qualification. Again, parents don't have the criteria or the measurements for this. And so often they'll just say, well, is a teacher licensed, without knowing what state licensure even means or what it entails, rather than asking the question, do they love learning? Maybe ask a teacher what books they've read and just see what sort of answers they would give. So that's the next thing I would look at, is what sort of faculty do you have?
With respect to the classroom, I think a lot of times if parents at a prospective school take the tour, they get to see the kids' classrooms or other classrooms or resource rooms, things like that. They're just looking, say, okay, it smells okay, and it looks like the janitor's doing their job. That's about as superficial as it is. What kind of details should we be looking for there?
Well, you're right. Again, what are parents supposed to be looking for? You know, there's an aquarium in the corner, and there's a model of frogs. That's very interesting. But there's a lot more we should look for. And the clues are all around. So, does it reflect the content of what a Christian should know? Look at the pictures that are displayed. Look at the artwork that's used. Is it content-based? Or is it a lot? Are there posters with just a lot of moralisms or kind of nice tips for living? That's the first thing, is looking for the content that's displayed. Also look, does it have a cohesive approach to learning? One school I was in recently, they were discussing a period of history in class. And along with that, the children had drawn artwork from that time period. And along with that, the older children had also drawn the same artwork, and it was out in the hallway. And so no matter where I went, I kept seeing this theme that was recurring throughout the school. It wasn't just restricted to one classroom or one grade, but it was a theme, and it connected all the subjects together. Finally, I'd ask, do the things that are displayed, do they reflect things pertaining to goodness and truth and beauty? Is there a striving for those three transcendental qualities that mark education? What sort of artwork is being copied? Is it just, a child's own scribble of a banana or whatever? Or are they trying to emulate some great works of art and learn about that great work of art? Are there references to some of the great thinkers that have talked about the nature of truth and how we understand truth? Is there an effort to relate what's good in this world and to have images in front of the children of goodness? So those are the type of things that I might look for in a classroom.
What kind of questions, as we wind this down, what kind of questions should prospective parents be asking of school administrators if they get a chance to meet with a principal or a headmaster?
I would first start with asking what they like to read. What are some of the influential educators that they've read? And that can tell you a lot. Even if you don't know much about the influential educators, you can always go home and look them up. And even if a headmaster has an answer, that shows at least they've read something, and it'll tell you that it's something of worth. I would ask questions about their commitment to the confessions of the church and how they view the confessions. I would ask questions about how they understand knowledge, truth, wisdom, and how that's best conveyed to children. Obviously, you want to know about discipline, and you want to know school policies, and you want to know all those sort of things, which are important on just a day-to-day operational basis. But I think the deeper questions are the most important questions. And those principals, those administrators that are serious about their job, that are really trying to maintain a wholesome Christian ethos in the school, will love to talk about that sort of stuff. I think you won't have to wait too long to discover that sort of educator, because there are so few parents that ask them about stuff like that, that when they are asked, they're just overjoyed at the chance to talk about it.
We're talking about shopping for a school. Dr. Thomas Korchak of Concordia University Chicago is our guest. He said earlier that these criteria, they apply just as well if you're shopping for a college or a university. We'll see what that means after this. Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our book of the month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Echo by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again, by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
How was school today, kids? Crazy! Hector's charioteer got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Hmm. Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. school.stpaulhamel.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, Dr. Thomas Korchak of Concordia University Chicago, and author of the book Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future is our guest. We're talking about shopping for a school. Dr. Korchak, you said earlier that the criteria we've been talking about here apply just as well if you're shopping for a college or a university. Talk about that.
Well, basically all those criteria do apply at a higher institution as well. So many of our colleges and universities, when they go looking for students, how do they advertise themselves? They don't talk about college prep, but they will talk about the job opportunities, the sports teams, how this is going to equip them to get the best job or the best career. And that's really kind of a red herring, because no university knows what sort of job market there's going to be in the future. And so how are they going to best prepare me for a job market? And as far as sports teams, well, there's a good chance I'm not going to be able to play. And if I play, I'm not going to make a living out of it, at least not unless I'm an elite athlete. So just touting those things, it's not a very good measurement for universities. And so with universities, I would start with the worship life, just like I would with an elementary school. Now, if they have no worship life, that says an awful lot, doesn't it? It says that the Word of God has no role in our lives, and the development of a spiritual life is unimportant. Well, as Christians, we should certainly bristle at that one. So I look at a worship life, and where they do have a worship life, I would watch it. Is it consistent with what goes on in the church? Are they following the liturgical year? Do they follow the established liturgies of the church? Is it in keeping with normal senses of reverence and honor that's due the Word of God? So often I click on chapel services, and it makes me shudder, because I would never allow that in my own congregation. And yet we allow that in a chapel service in a university. Finally, I'd look at the professors. What is their worldview? What is their commitment to the confessions of the church? University is especially a vulnerable time for young people. It's a time when they're questioning, when they're confused, when they're trying to figure out the world. And so I would be looking for well-educated professors who can guide them to answer the difficult questions in a way that's going to build up their faith, not tear it down.
Also, someone might say, look, classical education, it was a great idea in its day when the world was more suited to that way of educating children, but it is not suited for 21st century, fast-paced, high-technology kind of the world we live in now. How would you respond?
Right, because people are so different than they were 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. People are people are people, and they haven't changed. And our world changes, and as the world has changed, the classic liberal arts has changed and adapted along with them. And so earlier I was talking about how quickly the job market changes. Well, imagine you go to school to learn one particular job. That's all you train for. You get done, and then technology changes, so that job no longer exists. what good was all that education? Classic liberal arts really equips students to think broadly, to think carefully, to adapt, to learn new skills and learn new ways of thinking. One of the, there are some really interesting articles about the relationship of person who has been educated in the classical liberal arts and their ability to function in STEM fields. And really, it's drawing on the same skills. I was talking to one of our robotics professors about our new classical liberal arts program, and I was talking about learning Latin and Greek. And he said, well, computer programming is just another language, so if they can learn one ancient language, they can also learn a very modern language, and that is programming. So the skills transfer over. So it's not outdated. I think it's what we need, not just from a theological point of view, but also from a very practical point of view. I think it equips children for our modern age.
How do you respond to a parent who says, I just don't have an option fitting these criteria, even close to it, anywhere near me?
And that is a difficult one. It's really easy if there's a great little Lutheran classical school just down the road that I can drop my children off at 8 o'clock in the morning. But for many people, that simply doesn't exist. I would have to also say there's a lot of good Lutheran schools that aren't classical. And parents shouldn't just write it off because they aren't using the term classical. A lot of the hallmarks that I've already talked about can be seen in many good confessional traditional Lutheran schools. Then you get to the set of parents who don't have any Lutheran schools or any decent Lutheran schools near them. And what are they to do? Well, one option is homeschooling, and that's great, but not every parent can homeschool, either because they don't have the abilities or maybe their schedule doesn't fit it. Another option then are online schools, and I would have to kind of highlight our own Wittenberg Academy, which is just doing excellent work. It's a classical Lutheran online school that has students from around the world. Beyond that, some parents might just have to work extra hard. If they send their child to a public school, they might just have to work extra hard after hours teaching them the philosophy of public education, what they're being exposed to, and equipping them to stand against the forces that come against them in their daily lives.
Before we let you go, Dr. Korchak, you are the director of the new Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes, well, the Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts, or CALA, is a new center at Concordia University Chicago. And it's responding, it's created in response to the development of classical education, both in the Lutheran Church and beyond the Lutheran Church. And the task of the center is to sponsor and conduct research and scholarship connected to classical Lutheran education. It's there to provide advocacy and professional development resources for teachers working in the field. And hopefully we're going to serve as a general clearinghouse for information for those interested in Lutheran understanding of the liberal arts. There's a lot to be done. This is an exciting time for this field. Classical education is one of the fastest growing areas in Christian education. And I think it's a chance for our church and our university to get out in front and build a Lutheran voice for this. There are many people outside of our own confessional circles that admire the Lutheran heritage, and we're going to give voice to that heritage and give our little bit about how our perspective about how Christian classical education can effectively be done in the 21st century.
You can learn more about the Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Thomas Korchak is Assistant Professor of Theology and Director of the Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts at Concordia University, Chicago, and author of the book, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. Dr. Korchak, thank you.
Thank you very much. You have a good day.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, it's part two of our four-part series on teaching eternal truths. We'll be in the first part of the Apostles' Creed with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Echo. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
"40 Years Greatly Blessed" is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.